Right, good morning, one and all. Today's daf in Horius is daf Yadav. We're back on daf Yud. And we started the third parak yesterday of Horius. We have final parak of Horius, final parak of Seder Nezikin. And on Friday we will begin Masechta Zvachim. So please, everyone, get excited for that. Friday.
Zvachim.
Okay. We started yesterday the Mishnah and the beginning sugya on Daf Yud Amud Aleph yesterday. We are on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, and we're at the two dots with the words Tana Rabbanan, which is about five lines after the lines start getting wide. In the third parak yesterday, we began a discussion about the special karbanos that are brought by the Kohen Gadol and by the Melech, by the king. Kohen Gadol, special karban that he brings is a par halam dover. I didn't mean halam dover. I take it back. Is a par. Let's just leave it at that. He has to bring a par. Now, as we learned already a number of times through the Masechta, we discussed this at length in the second parak, Kohen Gadol has to have a whole raw. He has to have a ruling. So in a certain regard, he is like a Beis Din. So my misquote of par halam dover is not the worst mistake in the world, in the sense that just like Beis Din has to make a whole raw, and then people have to follow him, he too also has to make a whole raw. But it's not the people who follow him, it's he who follows himself and his own mistaken hora'ah. So the Kohen has to bring the special karban chatas. It is a par. The king, on the other hand, also has a special karban if he sins, and that karban that he brings is a se'ir, is a male goat, as opposed to the yechidim, the commoners, the rest of us, who have to bring either a se'ira or a kisva, but a king has to bring a se'ir. We talked yesterday in the Mishnayos about what happens if he was removed from office, what becomes of his status. Essentially, what we learned yesterday is a Kohen Gadol always has status. He always has the status of a Kohen Gadol, even after removed from office for whatever reason. He's always going to have the status of a Kohen Gadol. King has no status after he leaves from office. Once king is deposed from his office for whatever reason, that's it. He becomes like you and me. We talked yesterday also in the Mishnayos about what about beforehand? What about if he sins as a commoner and then he gets an appointment, either as a king or as a Kohen Gadol? What becomes then of the carbon? And the Mishnayos discuss those cases. Tana Rabbanan, we're going to continue from where we left off yesterday. Asher Nasi Yechita. We started this yesterday, but I'm going to start again from the two dots. Yachol Gzeira. Now, it says in the Torah, the king sins. Now, it doesn't say if the king sins, it says when the king sins, and the Gemara wants to pick up on that deal. It's a little bit strange that the Torah is going to say when the king sins. Meaning, usually, you go through Parshas Vayikra, which is what we've been spending the past 2 weeks talking about, you'll see the Torah kept saying if, because, of course, we don't have to sin, and it's Bechira Chafshis, and we have free choice. So, but when it comes to the king, it's the Torah says, Ashir Nasi Yachta, when he sins. Not if, but when. So Yachol Gzeira, so we would have entertained the Havamina Gzeira, meaning the Torah is telling us that the king will sin. Right? So Tamalama, and that's a Havamina, and we're going to come back and we're going to discuss the Havamina in just a moment, but Tamalama, Ima Kohen, HaMashiach Yechata, Malahalan Lech Sheikhata, Avkan Lech Sheikhata. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Kohen Gadol, the Torah there says if, and what we're going to do is we're going to extrapolate. Just like by the Kohen Gadol, it means if, so too by the Melech, it means if as well. As we talked about already, the whole sequence of the Karbanos in Perek Dalet is Kohen Gadol, Beis Din, and then King. So we assume that whatever is true by one is going to be true by the other as well. Okay. The Gemara now spends a moment talking about this Havamina, where the Gemara entertained the idea that the king will sin. Not a possibility, but a reality. A prognostication of what will happen in future times. Amar Mar Yachol Gzeira. The Gzeira Me'echitesa, the Gemara says, does the Torah do that? The Torah forecasts doom? So the Gemara says, sure, Amri in. Ashkechan dechsivin asati denget tzaraas be'beis eretz echuz eschem. So we have this idea of tzaraas, and the Torah says regarding tzaraas, it will happen. There will be tzaraas. Now we know tzaraas is a malady, spiritual malady, that is a response to sinning. So the Torah is saying there's going to be tzaraas, and not only that, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, b'suri hi lahem shenagayim bayim alayim div Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to happen. It absolutely will happen where there's going to be tzaraas. It is b'sura. The Torah is giving us information. It's not saying if tzaraas comes, when it comes. So, and Rabbi Shimon Amar Prat Lenigei Onsin, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says, no, the tzaras that's mentioned over here that absolutely will come was Nigei Onsin. Tzaras that comes with just as a response to nothing, just kind of happened. I'll explain what that means in a moment better. But in the meantime, let's focus on Rav Yehuda, because that's the Gemara's point. Lav Amar Rav Yehuda Besura HaChanami and Magzeri. So just like Rav Yehuda says, regarding when it comes to Tzaras, it's going to happen. There will be Tzaras, and the Torah is forecasting Tzaras, and meaning the bad type of Tzaras. So Tzaras that comes as a result of sinning, so too with the king will sin as well. That's part of the Havamina. That's how we can explain the Havamina. And therefore, Hilchach Siv Im, and that's why we need the word Im to tell us, no, that by the king, it's not going to happen. It's possible that it's going to happen. Right. Good. Period. All right. So the Torah contemplates this idea that when the Torah, when describing the chait of a king, it's not if, it's when he's going to sin. And the Torah is kind of alluding to the idea the king will sin. Just in general, I guess we could discuss this just very generally. What about Bechir Chavshis? Meaning, even in, the Gemara went through a Havamina and Maskana, but even in the Havamina, it's a little bit strange that the Gemara entertains this idea that the Torah is telling us the king will sin. So, right, whatever happened to Bechir Chavshis, every person has free will. How can the Torah make such a declaration that the king will sin? So it could be that, well, first of all, just we know in general that being a king, you just are, the temptation to sin is much greater than for the common person. He's on such an elevated status. We learned yesterday in the Gemara, he has nobody to answer to but God, right? So, but other than that, he has no one else to answer to. He doesn't have to meet with a board of directors. He doesn't have any of that. All yet, right? So just on a very pragmatic level, it could be that the king is just...
What about the idea that the king can be deposed? Can be deposed.
He can, absolutely can be deposed.
Can be deposed if he's,
but just the idea, though, we're just discussing the idea now, this Havamina the Gemara had, the king definitely will sin. So... But that's in general. But that's correct. That's in general. But for the idea that the Torah is telling us the king will sin... So that's one thing. And the other thing is also, when it comes to the king, it could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have more control over a king. And yes, maybe in fact he does have less Bechir Chavshis. We see the Rambam writes that regarding Paro. Right? The Rambam's so bothered by Paro in Hilchos Tshuva, in the sixth Perek. So the Rambam is bothered. How can Hashem manipulate Paro the way he does? And the Rambam's answer is essentially... He does. Meaning, you're right. Normally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't manipulate us. We have the power, we have the ability to choose, but under certain circumstances, he does. And the Rambam actually, I don't know if I'm representing the Rambam's position well over here. The Rambam says regarding Paro, it was because he was so cruel and he was so heinous that part of his punishment was he takes away his Bechir Chavshis. But what I'm suggesting over here is that it could also be the function of the fact that Paro was a king and he was a leader. And yeah, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in fact have more control and the king has less ability to decide. Okay. Ula Rebbe Shimon. Now we're going to spend a couple of minutes now talking about Nige Onsen. We have this idea that there's Nega, there's Saras that comes because you did something wrong, and it's a response to what your action is. And there's something called Nige Onsen. Negaim that come out of Ones. So first the Gemara asks a technical question. Before we even understand what it is, Gemara just asks a very technical question. It's not metame, meaning it's not the same thing as just regular tzaras. The pasuk when introducing to us the idea of tzaras says Adam ki yiyeh. When he will have, meaning, and the Gemara understands it means from this point forward. As Rashi explains the Gemara over here, it means that if you had tzaras before Matan Torah, that's not tzaras. Meaning it may have all the symptoms of tzaras. And if you go to your local expert Cohen and he says to you, that's tzaras, good. So it may look and be just like tzaras, but halachically, from a Tumah standpoint, it's not tzaras until after the Torah was given. V'halo dinhu. Now the Gemara says it's true by Zav as well. When a man has a discharge, so it's only going to be Tami from Sinai onward. Can we say that the same thing by Tzaras? So the Gemara says, no, the comparison is not good at all. So the Gemara says, look, there's a fundamental difference. When it comes to Zav, this discharge, the Zav discharge of a man, is only if it wasn't Ba'ones. But if it was Ba'ones, meaning the Gemara elsewhere says, if a man has a discharge because he's sick or, right, if it was Ones, if it was under duress, so that's not a Ziva discharge, that's not considered a Zav discharge. But that's not true by Tzaras. By Tzaras, even by Ones, it is Tzaras. So we have a special drasha by Tzaras that only Tzaras after Har Sinai, after Maimon Har Sinai, that Tzaras, anything beforehand, may symptomatically be Tzaras, but is not halachically Tzaras until after Har Sinai. But what you see clearly from this discussion is that it doesn't matter how the Tzaras comes, whether it was a response to something you did, or because it was Ones, it still is Tzaras. So how did Rabbi Shimon just a couple lines ago say, that pasuk is talking about Nige Onsen. So what? It doesn't matter. It's still Tzaras. So the Gemara gives one of two suggestions. Rava Amar Prat Lenige Ruchos, Rav Papa Amar Prat Lenige Kshafim. So the Gemara says one of two possibilities in terms of what this type of tzaras is that does not give off tuma. Nige Ruchos, what does that mean? So Rashi, left hand column, fourth line down, right? Had the Kamar Rabbi Shimon Prat Lenige Onsin can go Nige Ruchos to Al Yedei Neficha Shade, Velo Al Yedei Adam. What happened? You happened to be walking by a demon, right? You heard me correctly. And the demon exploded. And as a result of that explosion, so you have tzaras. Okay, that's what Rashi explains, Nige Ruchos. I don't think the Rambam would go in that direction, but no, it doesn't matter. That's Nige Ruchos. The Chikitani Tomar B'negam Shemetam B'onis Kigon Ayideh HaKal Kaviyah. When the Braisa talks about getting tzaras, and that doesn't matter how you get it, that's talking about what, like a burn. Meaning you get a burn. And one of the types of tzaras that the Torah describes is a burn tzaras. So even though it didn't just kind of appear, you saw how it happened, that still is considered tzaras. But if you go past the exploding demon, that's not tzaras. Even though it may look like tzaras, that's not tzaras. Okay, period. Okay, coming back now to our discussion. So, if a Nasi sins, which excludes a Cholam, the Gemara says, that doesn't make any sense. A king is sick and he's deposed because he's sick? That doesn't make any sense. If he has Saras, he is deposed for having Saras. For an illness, so fine, so just, take a little bit of time off. But he's not deposed. For having Saras, he is deposed. Shenemar, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Malachim Beis regarding King Uzziahu. V'yinaga Hashem et ha-melech v'yim et Sarah ad yom aso. Uzziahu got Saras. He got Saras until the day of his death. V'yashav beveis ha-chavshis. V'yashav ben ha-melech al-abayis. And he was in the Beis ha-chavshis. Now, the Beis ha-chavshis doesn't have a good English translation. We'll say the free house. But I don't know what that means. So, but midakamar bebeis hachavshis mechla dan hashta ever hava. So the Gemara says, good. So he's in the beis hachavshis after he got tzaras, which means that up until that point in time, he was an eved. And it's so good. The Gemara is going to tell us now that the word eved and the word melech are interchangeable. Right? When you're a king, you're a slave. Right? We call that here in America a public servant. Right? I'm not sure if we use it nowadays as a complimentary term, but right, that's what a king is. A king is a public servant. So that's what the pasuk means by Uzziahu. Uzziahu at Saras, and he goes to the base of Chavshitz, meaning he's literally a free man now. What does that mean? It means that up until that point he was a king. A king is an Eved, and once he gets Saras, that's it. He's free to go. Which means he's no longer the king. And the Gemara now, and we are going to segue into a lot of good agadata. The Gemara now takes us to this idea that when you are a leader, not necessarily a king, but a leader, you really are a slave. Leader and slave are one and the same thing. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were going on a boat together. They didn't have the greatest relationship. You're right? You know that. But they went on a boat together. But how did Rabbi Gamliel have a pizza? But how did Rabbi Yeshua have a pizza? A salsa. So they both brought with them provisions. Rabbi Gamliel brought just bread. I say just bread because bread gets moldy and stale and doesn't last. Rabbi Yeshua was a little wiser in this particular story, and Rabbi Yeshua brought both bread and flour. So Shalom Pita de Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel's bread ran out. Samach Asulte de Rabbi Yeshua. And so now they need to eat. They're still on the boat. Thank God Rabbi Yeshua brought his flour, and they took the flour and they made bread out of it, and Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yeshua saved the day. Now, Rabbi Gamliel, when packing for the trip, knew that the trip was a certain length of time. And he packed for provisions for that particular length of time. So Rabbi Gamliel turns to Rabbi Yeshua and says, how did you know? How did you know that the boat was going to take longer than what the sailors told it was going to do? So, right? How did you know to bring flour? Amar lei, so Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Gamliel, I'll tell you how I knew. Kochav echa l'shivim shana ola umat et asafanim. There is this star, I guess we can call it a comet, and probably, although I'm not saying it is, Halley's Comet, there's a star that comes out once every 70 years, right? Anyone who knows better than me, which is probably everyone in the room, Halley's Comet is once every
76
years. Okay, not bad. So there is a comet that comes out once every 70 years, and it redirects the sailors. And Rashi does a beautiful job over here explaining how the whole navigation of sailors is based on the stars, and they follow a star. Problem is that with this star, which we're going to call a comet, it goes sometimes on the north and then it goes to the south, and the pilot's following it and the sailor's following it, but meanwhile, it's not fixed in the sky. And so, Rabbi Yeshua says, I knew that Halley's Comet was coming out, and I knew the sailors were going to get misled by it. Why didn't he tell the sailors that information? Okay, settle down, everyone. So, Ve'amarti Shema Yala V'yita Osanu. So I knew now that the trip is going to take longer than expected. So Amar Lei, Sir Rabbi Gamliel, says to Rabbi Yeshua, you really are smart. Kol kach biyadecha ve'ata ole besfina. So let me ask you a question. You're brilliant. You're so smart, and you're on a boat. And as Rashi explains, the question goes like this, right? What are you doing on a boat? You're obviously on a boat for business. Right? And you shouldn't be going out in business. You should be learning all the time. And what do you need business for? So, huh? And yeah, and right? Same. I also had the same question. So, So, look, Rabbi Yeshua says, look, it's a fair question, right? Granted, it is a fair question that you have against me. But you have two students learning in your own very yeshiva, who are brilliant. Rabbi Lazar Chasma, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, Shiyodim Lashar Kamatipas Yesh Bayam. Just to give you an example of their brilliance, they can measure the amount of water in the ocean. Okay? So they have that ability, that type of analytical power. And I'm telling you that they're indigent. They have nothing. They have no food to eat. They don't have clothing to wear. And they're learning in your yeshiva. So look, you can question me and why I'm spending my time going out in business. But meanwhile, you got two students in your own yeshiva who are brilliant, and they need a parnasa. So Rabbi Gamliel says, okay, good. So I learned something on this trip. I got two students in yeshiva who really should get appointments to some sort of head of yeshiva. So when I go back home, I'm gonna appoint the two of them. Kisha Allah shalach lehem v'lo ba'u. So he calls them, right? And he calls them in order to give them a promotion. And apparently, and I'm not sure exactly how this works, but apparently, when you get some sort of appointment, some sort of promotion in the yeshiva, so you get some sort of paycheck, right? It seems that way. Yeah, it happens. So kisha Allah shalach lehem v'lo ba'u. So the first time he calls for them, they don't come. Knowing that they're being called for some sort of promotion, some sort of appointment, they don't come. So he calls them a second time, and right? And they realize at that point in time that they just can't simply keep saying no to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi. He was the head. So they're not going to say no, so they came. Amar lahem ki meduma ma'atam sheshrara ani nosein lachem. So look, on one hand, I understand why you didn't come, because you don't want the spotlight, you don't want the limelight, you want to be quiet and learning, and I understand that. But I'm not giving you a promotion in the sense that most people think. Avdus ani nosein lachem. I'm really making you slaves. That's what I'm doing. By giving you a promotion, by making you leaders, I'm really making you slaves. Rashi says it beautifully and succinctly. Look at the top Rashi on the page. Avdus ani nosein lachem, shehashrarus avdus hu. When you're a leader, you're a slave. So, right, Rabbi Gamliel says to these two students who we learned about while traveling on the boat, I'm really making you slaves. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Vayidabru alav le'morima, hayom tiyeh eved la'am hazeh." From this day, you're going to be a slave. Slave over here, of course, means king, king, slave, slave, king. It's all the same. It's one and the same. Okay. Tan Rabbanan. Asher Nasi Yecheta. The pasuk, in describing the carbon of the Nasi, starts off with the words Asher. Now, we already spent time this morning talking about it, and the Gemara has quipped on the fact that it seems from the Pasha Pshat that he will sin, not if he sins, but that was the Havamina, the Gemara rejected it, but still we go back to the Pasuk again. Asher Nasi Yecheta Amar Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Ashrei Hador Shanasi Shalom Evi Karban Asher Gagaso. Look, it's a good thing, because what the Torah is describing is that he sinned, and it wasn't even intentional. It was shogeg. It was an inadvertent sin. And it bothered him so much, he was so sensitive to it, that he brought a carbon. Now, of course, that's the right thing you're supposed to do. You're supposed to bring a carbon. But if the Torah is describing this type of king, where his sensitivity towards the halacha is such that even though he violated only b'shogeg, he brings a carbon. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Ashrei. That's a good generation. Ashrei Ador Shanasi Shalom Evi Karban Ashrei Gagaso. Im Nasi Shalom Evi Karban Sarcha Talomer Ma'u Hejot. Look, if the king's bringing a carbon, so Ahijah for sure of that generation would bring a carbon. And it's interesting, it's really just a truism of life, right? The king feels more magiali, like, I don't need to bring a carbon, you know, I'm the king and it's justifiable. And if he doesn't make rationalizations for himself, the common person for sure will not. Now, if he's so sensitive to a sin that he does b'shogeg, so for sure he'll be even more sensitive to a sin that he would have done b'mezin, as Rashi points out, he would for sure do tshuva. Maskif la rava berei derava ela mi'ata dechtiv es asher chata min hakodesh yishalem. The Gemara says, really, every time we have the word asher, it really is a subcategory of ashrei, and the way we can read the pasuk is fortunate. The Gemara says, first of all, by the Isran Me'ila, the Torah says, Es asher chata min hakodesh yishalem. Right, that's a description of Me'ila. Why would the Torah use the word Asher? If Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is right, every time it says Asher, we can read it as Ashrei. And over Yerava Menemad Dichsi Bo Asher Chata V'Asher Hecheti. And by Yeravam, who was a wicked, wicked man, it says, Asher Chata V'Asher Hecheti. And again, you're going to go into Ashrei over there. Hachinami De Asher Adorhu. So the Gemara says, Shani Hachat D'Shani Kwa B'Di Burei. Gemara says, look, Asher by itself doesn't automatically switch into Ashrei. So by Me'ila and by Yeravam, don't do that. However, by the carbon brought by the Nasi, the Torah didn't have to say the words Asher Nasi Yecheta. In fact, what the Torah should have said is Im Nasi Yecheta. But the fact that it says Asher, it's Mishani B'Diburei, it conspicuously changes the language. So therefore, we understand that it's a reference to Ashrei. Darash Rav Nachman Rav Chisam Aydichsev Yeshev Al Asher Naaseh LaAretz Ashrei LaSadikim Shemagi Alem Kemaseh Rishem Sholam Hababa Olam Hazeh. So the pasuk in Koheles, the Gemara darshens the pasuk. Fortunate are the tzaddikim who in this world get what Rishayim get. So the Gemara said, and then what Gemara continues. And woe to the Rishayim who get what the Tzaddikim get in the world to come in this world. So the Gemara says, in other words, the first way it's presented to us is that a tzaddik should not get a good in this world. Right? Should not. Meaning that all of his reward and all of his benefits should come in the world to come, and really a tzaddik should not enjoy this world at all, and really should experience only suffering in this world. That's the first way it's presented to us. And Amar Rava, and the Rava challenges. Rava says, I don't understand that at all. Atu tzaddiki yachli treyama misanilu? Is it really despiteful? Is it something despised? Sorry. If it's something despised, where a tzaddik enjoys both worlds, both this world and the world to come, right? We know Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, right? It's just an example. Right? He was the wealthiest man alive. He enjoyed this world and he enjoyed the world to come. So, and it's not a bad thing. There's nothing bad about enjoying this world. Ela Maraba, Hashem L'Tzadikim, Shemagi Alem Kemaser, Hashem Sholam Hazeh, Ba'olam Hazeh. Okay, so there was the Gemara is going to change its tune. The Gemara says, Enachinami, that for a tzaddik ashrehem, they're fortunate, meaning, as a tzaddik, their olam haba is locked. They're going to get olam haba, and it'll be a chelik of olam haba. But in terms of olam hazeh, you know what's fortunate? If they get also a good in this world as well. Olam l'rishayim shemagi alem kemaseh tzaddikim sh'olam hazeh, ba'olam hazeh. And as far as the Rishayim are concerned, it's not good for them to enjoy this world, because that means that for whatever merit they gain, for whatever good they did, it's all going to be consumed and eaten up in this world. Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua asked l'kamei d'Rava. Two students, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, went in front of Rava. Amalehu ukimna masechta plan, masechta plan. So let me ask you a question. Did you learn this masechta? And did you learn this masechta? And he tested them. He wanted to see if they knew masechtas. So Amalei in. So they said, yeah, we're familiar. We know this masechta. Okay, so apparently it was an admissions test into the yeshiva. And so the first question asked upon going to yeshiva is, do you know a certain amount? And they said, yes. Eat atru porta. You have money. Right? Nowadays it seems like the question is reversed in general. But the second question is, do you guys have money? So Amr Le'in, he says, yeah, we have money as well. Dazad and Katina Dara. We went into real estate and we sold a little bit of real estate, so we have money as well. Okay, good. So they know they are Tamid Chachamim, and they have money. So Kari Aleya Shrem Sadikim Shemagi Alem Kemaser Hashem Sheba Olam Hazeh Olam Hazeh. And good. So that's Ashrehem. That's now what we just learned up above. That you're fortunate, meaning not only do you have Masechtas and you learn Torah, but on top of that you also have money as well. Ashrehem. Amar Rav Barav Huna, we are in the first wide line of the page. Amar Rav Yochanan, my dechsev kisharim darchei Hashem v'tzidikim yachubam u'poshim yichash lubam. The pasuk in Hosea, we read it as a haftarah. I don't know when. Stuart, you remember?
Shabbos
Shuvah. Thank you. And is there a second time that we read it as well?
This week.
Yeah, it's
this week.
Yeah, Parashat Vayetzei.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay. I remember hearing this a lot, so in Shul, which means that I'm half paying attention in Shul during half Torah. That's good. I won't. Kisharim darchei Hashem v'tzadikim yachubam u'poshim yikash lubam. Good pasuk in Hosea. Now, the pasuk in Hosea is interesting. It says that when there is a derech to go down, so on that very derech, you could have tzaddikim walking on that derech, and you could have Rishayim stumble over that derech. Now, what's going to be tricky over here is to find pshat in the pasuk, because it's not two different derech, meaning we usually assume both, we're talking of literally and proverbially, we're talking about how a tzaddik goes down one path and a rasha goes down another path, right? But that's not what this pasuk is describing. This pasuk is describing it's the same path, and you have a tzaddik and rasha going down the same path. How does that work? So the Gemara makes a couple of attempts of giving pshat in this pasuk. First couple of attempts are going to be aborted, but the Gemara will finally give a pshat in this pasuk. Mashal shnei b'nei adam she tzalu pischeim. Two people who roasted the carbon Pesach. Echad achlu l'shem mitzvah, ve'echad achlu l'shem achila gasa. So one person ate it with the sake of l'shem mitzvah's carbon Pesach, and he sat down. And he says there's a mitzvah in the Torah called eating Karban Pesach. I intend on eating it as a Karban Pesach. And the second person ate it, l'shum achila gasa, eating it when he was full, which is called achila gasa. Zeh shu achlu shum mitzvah tzadikim yachubam, zeh shu achlu shum achila gasa, uposhim yichashlu ba. So the one who ate it for a mitzvah, good, he did a mitzvah. The one who ate it as a chilagatza, after he was full already, he was a posheya, he's a sinner. And the Gemara suggests now, this is pshat in the pasuk. Gemara says, I don't like it at all. It's not a good pshat. Amalei Reish Lakish, Rasha Karislu. Look, the guy who ate it as an achila gasa, he's a Rasha? That's what you're going to call him? Look, he didn't do the mitzvah the best way. But he ate Karban Pesach. So it's, to call him a Rasha is too much. It's not the right terminology to describe them. Now, just a minute, we're going to spend 2 good minutes talking about now this idea of achila gasa, because it's a little bit difficult to understand this bit of Gemara. If it's really achila gasa, so then he didn't fulfill the mitzvah, right? We know the halacha is that if you're stuffed, you really are stuffed, and you eat some more, that's not considered achila, right? So it's interesting because the Gemara over here says that the second guy that we're describing, the Gemara says, even though he didn't do the mitzvah minimum of Kar, but he still ate the Karban Pesach. So, but wait a second though, if it's real achila gasa, so he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So Tosos HaRush discusses this. I quote him a couple times so far this year. It's in the left hand, but I know everything's small on this page. I apologize for the publishers, even though I don't think I have to, but everything's just tiny. Look at the first wide line of the Tosos HaRush. He quotes Rashi. He doesn't like Rashi so much because Rashi describes it as being achila gasa uperusho eino muvan. He's now commenting on Rashi's pshat. Look, if he's eating the Karban Pesach at the end of the meal, that's what you're supposed to do. That's the mitzvah, to eat the Karban Pesach at the end of the meal. Tapnukin hatovin bekinuch seuda lefishik far savu mishar ma'achalam v'nafsha katsa b'hem elisha nene mima'achalam hatovin ba'achrona. Look, the way to eat the Karban Pesach, the correct way to eat it, so writes the Tosfos HaRush, is to basically basically satisfy your basic appetite, and then to sit down when you are basically full and to enjoy the last bits of the meal. That's what's called lemashcha. To eat it in a way of royalty. But if you're really full, that's not lemashcha. We're at that point over here in our Gemara. Meaning our Gemara is describing that point where you're full, and you're not really benefiting from that eating. So, on one hand, that's not lamashcha. You didn't do the mitzvah correctly. The correct way to do the mitzvah is to not be full, to have gotten to the point of soveya, and then really enjoy now the Karban Pesach as your last thing that you eat that night. That's lamashcha, that's gedula. But if you're full and you eat afterwards, that's not lamashcha, but that's not achila gasa. The Hadamin and Ocha Achila Gasa by Yom Kippur and Potter. What is Achila Gasa? The type of Achila where even if you do that on Yom Kippur, you didn't violate Inui. What is that? Ama Dolo Mikre Achila Klal. Hainu Kishu Saveh Kokach Shemachal Koevlo Meirov Savo. That's where eating is hurts because you're so stuffed and you're so full and eating hurts. That's Achila Gasa as we normally think about it in terms of. That's not even achila. That's not even eating. Okay. So, in the Tosfos HaRush, there are really 3 categories of eating. Eating when you're not full, right? When you ate a little bit, but you're not full, and that's what you're supposed to do. Eating after you're full, but still doesn't hurt you. And eating when it hurts. That's the achila gasa. To become full. Yeah, I would assume. Okay, back to the Gemara. Okay, so again, Pasuk in Hosea, we have a derech that the tzaddikim are going down, and the rishayim are also going down the same derech, and we're looking for pshat in that pasuk. So the first pshat with the two carbon pesach, the Gemara did not like it because the second guy is not a rasha; he's not a sinner. He just didn't do the mitzvah correctly. Pshat number two. Man is in a house with his wife and his wife's sister, his sister-in-law, who's forbidden to him. And one man had relations with his wife, and the other one had relations with his sister-in-law. And the Gemara says this is also not a good pshat in the pasuk. That's not one derech, and we're looking for one derech, so that's not a good pshat as well. Ella, so we'll say pshat like this, and here's the pshat the Gemara will land on. Mashallah, Lot ushtei benosav, Lot and his two daughters, hein shniskavnu l'shem mitzvah, tzadikim yachumam. We're talking about the same act of bia, where the daughters did it, and they did it for the good reason. Because they were l'shem mitzvah. They legitimately thought the world was coming to an end. And just like B'nai Adam and Chava were allowed to have incest in order to populate the world, they thought they were doing the right thing. So they were l'shem mitzvah. Hu sheniskav l'shem avera uposhtu mikash l'bam. But he was l'shem avera, Lot. And the Gemara will describe that better in just a moment. He was l'shem avera. So it's the same act of bia, and the daughters get the title of Sadiqim, and the father Lot gets the title of Rasha. So the Gemara says, okay, good. How do you know by Lot? V'dilmahu nami l'shem mitzvah hu mechaven, Amar Rav Yochanan, kol ha-pasuk zeh l'shem avera namar. Encrypted in the pasuk is avera. In other words, and what the Gemara now is going to do in classic drush style is show how every part of the pasuk is a description of Lot, and his real intent was to do avera. So we're gonna. The pasuk reads, "Va'yisa Lot es kol kikar yarden ki kula mashke." That's the pasuk. So we're gonna break up the pasuk into three parts, and the Gemara is gonna show how you could see just by the flavor of the pasuk how it's all about Lot really lusting after his taiva. Va'yisa Lot. So we have the first part of the pasuk, "Va'yisa Lot," and the Gemara quotes, "Va'tisa ishas adonav eseinaha." Right. And that's Eshes Potiphar, and you see the word Vatisa. Vayom Shimshon also kachli kihi sharena be'enai. You have Shimshon lusting after the Plishtim woman. Vayar. We're breaking up into four parts. I'm sorry. So the first part, Vayisa Lot, so we quoted Psukim, that Shav Vayisa means that you are lusting. Vayar Osa Shchem, right? Vayar. Vayar osah shchem ben chamor. And you see how the word vayar also is a reference to lusting. Shchem sees Dina and lust after her. It's called ki kar hayardain, and the Gemara says ki ba'ad isha zona ad ki kar lechem. The pasuk in Mishle describes lusting after a prostitute. Ki kula mashke, that's back to Lot, and the Gemara says elcha acharei ma'avai nosne lachmei u'mimai tzimri pishti shmeini u'shkuyai. And you see that the mashkeh is also in reference to lusting. Now the Gemara says, wait a second, you're telling me that Lot is a rasha in the bia that he had with his daughters. The ha'anis ma'anes, the Gemara says, he was drunk, he was an ones. How could you call him a rasha? So the Gemara says, Tana mishum Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, mishum bar Rabbi Choni, lamana kud avav shebekuma shabechira. It has dots. You look in the Chumash, you look in the Sefer Torah, and you'll see dots after the word, over the words, Shebekuma, Lamelcha, Shebeshachva, Lo Yada, Vabekuma Yada. Meaning that when he had relations with his first daughter, so he was drunk. So at the beginning of the point of relations, he was so drunk he didn't know what was going on. By the way, in halachic terminology, right, the Rishonim talk about different levels of it being intoxicated. So the highest level of intoxication is called shichur sholot, right, being as drunk as Lot, meaning having absolutely no idea what's going on. So you're right. So at that point, he was a total ones. But by the end, he sobered up a little bit, enough to know what was going on. So my havel ma'avid, my da'avid, the Gemara says, okay. But still, in other words, that was at the end. So the Gemara says, "Nafkamina de palnaya achrina loi by le mishte." Yeah, that means then that for night number two, he knows that when they started drinking, giving him drink, he knew what was happening. He shouldn't have drunk for that second night. So you're right. So for the first night, he gets a pass, but for the second night, he does not get a pass. He's called a rasha, and the Gemara says, "Good, all right."
Rabbi, this pasuk is not about the destruction of stone.
Tosos HaRosh makes your observation.
When he moved to stone.
Yeah, Tosos HaRosh makes your observation. Again, go down to the Tosos HaRosh. The Tava Yivakash Nifra. Tosos HaRosh makes this point a little bit later on, but it's right. Do you see the last five lines? Alpha Pishlo Nifra Nat Shamalo Avraham Kevin Shemariva Zuba Machmasaroim Havala Memcha Shalo Yuriva Olamdecha Sheyatav Lahafrido. The Kevin Shapasaklo Avraham Ya Nifra Mimenu. Meaning that, yeah, he lusted earlier. Meaning he wanted to separate from Avraham earlier. And this was just as an excuse. Omitochzen is Gala Kalonoshim Nishal Eitzel Avraham, etc., etc. Meaning, Tosfos HaRosh says that really this was part of his interest all along, to separate from Avram and to go after his taiva, but we may not see it until later in the Pesukim. Okay, back to the Gemara. Darash Rabba Maidichziv. Ach Hanefesh Mikiryas Oz. The brother cut himself off from the city of strength. U Midyanim Kibriach Armon. Quarrels like a bolt on a fortress. And the Gemara goes on to explain this pasuk, which is in Mishle, but obviously in the context of our discussion, we're talking about the relationship of Lot and Avraham, and the Gemara darshens the pasuk. Achna shami kiryat o zel Lot shepirish me Avraham. This is a reference to Lot who separated from Avraham. Umidjanim kibriach hamon sheitil midjanim ben yisrael hamon. And he created a fight between the Jewish people and Ammon. Meaning that Ammon, who is the descendant of Lot, is always going to be quarreling with the Jewish people. That he wanted to separate, and he became exposed. And the Gemara darshens the pasuk. L'tava yivakash nifra zelo shenifra me'avram, he separated from Avram. B'chol toshiyah yitgala shenitgala kolono bevati knesios ubati medrashios. And his embarrassment is always going to be exposed. And not only exposed, but even base medrash. Because we have a Mishnah, it's the Mishnah in Yevamos. Amoni umawavi asurim isser olam. And every time they're learning in the base medrash, this Mishnah, so the exposure of Lot and what he did is going to be reminded to everybody. The Amarula Tamar Zinsav Zimri Zina. And we can point to women who were Mizane. Tamar was Mizane. Right? She had relations with her father-in-law. And she dressed up as a prostitute. And they weren't married. And they were Mizane. And Zimri also was Mizane. But the Gemara says, but there's a huge difference. Tamar Zinsav Yatsu Mimena Malachim Neviim. Now, out of Tamar comes Malachim Neviim, right? She had Peretz and Zerach and Peretz, other way around, Peretz and Zerach, and they were the progenitors of kings and Neviim. Zimri Zina Naflu Kama Rivavos Misrael, and Zimri is Mizana, and thousands and thousands, 24,000 Jewish people died. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Gedol Aver Lishma Mitzvah Shelo Lishma. Now, classic Gemara. The Gemara over here says that a Avera Lishma is greater than a Mitzvah Shelo Lishma. Now, even the way the first way the Gemara presents it to us, it's not good. Because when it comes to a Mitzvah, right, a Mitzvah Lishma, Mitzvah Shelo Lishma, they're both Mitzvahs. So the first way the Gemara presents it to us is not going to be the accepted way. Shenema, but first, before we get to the correction, Tevarach min Hashem Ya'el Eishes Chaver HaKeni Minashem Ba'Oel Tivorach. Ya'el, who committed Znus, her Znus is better than the intimacy of the matriarchs. Okay. It's a strong pasuk. Shir is devora. That with this one I know. It's Parshas Peshalach. Okay, you can't get me on that one. it's a long haftarah. So umay ninu nashim ba'ol sara rivka rachav aleya. So the znus of Yael is greater than the bia of the imos. Now the Gemara says ini. Now we get to the correction. Doing something shelo lishma has value. A mitzvah shelo lishma has value. Shem talk shelo lishma balishma, right? Because eventually, what's going to happen is that even though you may not be doing it for the right reasons, but you keep doing it and you keep doing it, and it will turn into lishma. It will become lishma. So you can't say the way that the original statement was that the avera lishma is better than a mitzvah shelo lishma. No, that's not accepted. Ema ki mitzvah shelo lishma. So we'll say it like this, that an avera lishma is better than a mitzvah shelo lishma. Okay. It's powerful. It's just powerful Gemara. You know, how many times are we going to, does this have application in our lives? I'm not sure, but it is powerful. Amar of Yochanan, Sheva be'ilos ba'al osa rasha ba'al osa shah. Yael had relations with someone please help me. Sisra, thank you. Yael had relation with Sisra 7 times. Shenamar bein ragla kara nafal shachav. And you look at the pasuk, and there's 7 verbs in that pasuk. The pasuk does not mention once that they had relations, but the Gemara darshins it out from that pasuk bein ragla. Obviously, is an allusion to the idea that they had relations. And if you look in that pasuk, it says 7 different ways how he fell. So the Gemara understands that this is an allusion to Yael having relations with him 7 times, and her purpose in doing so is to weaken him, right? And so that when she kills him, she'll have an easier time killing him. The Gemara says, now to say that it's an avera lishma, but isn't she getting benefit? So Am Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Afilo Tavasim Shel Rashaim, Rahi Eitzot Tzadikim. And the Gemara says, no benefit. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav Lola, Miyasa Gad Nam Batar Mitzvot Afilo Shelo Lishma, Shem Itok Shelo Lishma, Bal Lishma. Shebeschar Mem Beis Karbanos Sheikriv Balak HaRasha, Balak gave 42 Karbanos. And even though, obviously, it was Shelo Lishma, he only gave the Karbanos so that the curse of Bilam would be an effective curse. So clearly his intent was Shelo Lishma, but he gave Karbanos, he offered Karbanos to Hashem. So Zachav Yatsa Mimenu, Rus. But nevertheless, Rus came out of there. Damar of Yosef by Bechinin, Rus, Bas Benosha Eglon, Ben Benosha Balak Moab. Balak Melech Moab. Rus is a granddaughter of Eglon, grandson of Balak. Okay? I'm Rav Chia Barav, I'm Rav Yochem Inayim. She'ena Kosh Baruch Hu Mekapecha, Afilu Tzchar Sicha Na'eh, Mehacha. The Sicha Na'eh, all conversations, even regular conversations, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes an account for everything. De'ilu Bechira Dekarya Moav. Look, the older one, the older daughter of Lot, when she named her son, she said Moav. And that's just not a nice way to call your son. He comes from my father, right? And every time you say Moav, you realize, oh, that's just inappropriate. And Amar le'Rachman le'Moshe al teitzaris Moav, the al titgar b'milchama. When it comes to Moav, you can't wage war against them. But anything less than war, that's okay, right? Milchama hu d'lo hatziuri tzarinu. But if we want to antagonize the Moabites, we have every right to do so. It's just that we can't wage actual war. V'ilu tzi'ira dekarya ben ami. But she, when she names her son, is a little more gentle in the name that she gives her son. Amalei atu tziram v'atit kabam klal afilu tzi'uri lo. We are not allowed to antagonize the Ammonites. Amar chia barav and amar yeshua ben karcha la'olam yakdim adam ledvar mitzvah. A person should jump to do a mitzvah. It's so interesting. The Gemara just lambasted the older daughter for naming her son the name Moav, and now the Gemara is going to give her credit for doing the mitzvah first, because as we already established, the girls, the daughters of Lot, their intent was to do a mitzvah. It was Lot who was the the Rasha in this whole story. Shebeschar laila acha shekalma bechir letzira zachta vekalmasa arba doros lamalchus. Right, the older daughter who did the mitzvah first, so therefore her child that ends up becoming a king, i.e. David HaMelech, is the first one precedes the child of or the progeny of the younger daughter by four generations. There, out of the younger daughter comes Na'ama. But right, but that's four generations after David HaMelech. Tanu Rabbanan, okay, this is it. I know we're behind, but this is it. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow, halacha. Back to halacha. This finishes the section of Agadita. Some excellent Agadita for today. Tomorrow, Mumar. Big topic for tomorrow is the topic of Mumar.